That deaf man was a hearing, and I like it. The blind man, he saw. Yeah, I like it. That fit right in. We've been preaching through John and the miracles of Christ, and that just fit right in all this morning. We're glad for that. Remember when he was down and out? He came along and made you want to shout. Remember when he was lost deep in sin and he come by and just you called on him, he just jerked you right out of it. He didn't say do the best you can. He didn't do that. That's what people's all the time telling you. Do the best you can. Well, I am, and I'm drowning. I'm sinking. I don't have nothing. But well, I'm glad he comes by and just jerks you up out of it. Huh? Dries you off, cleans you up, dries you off, and takes you to the other side. You can't beat him this morning. Have I ever told you that? You just really can't beat him. All right? Everybody all right? Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to give you a few thoughts this morning, and I've been excited all week to get to come to church, and the weeks fly by, it seems like, but it seems, the Sunday seems like it's so far apart, you know, I mean, I enjoy Wednesday, but Sunday seems like it's just so far apart, even though you turn around, there it is, but I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You understand this morning that you are an answer to prayer. You're sitting there an answer to prayer. You walk through the doors, you're an answer to prayer. Now, it might be my prayer, it might be someone else's prayer. But when you walk through, there is people that care. There is people that call your name out unto the Lord. And I want you to understand that. So don't ever think that you're unnoticed. Don't ever think that you're not worth it because somebody has prayed for you. What's the old song some kids used to sing? Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. I'm so glad that somebody prayed for me. See, I know that when I stand behind this pulpit, I understand that I am an answer to prayer. It may not be yours, but they were some that prayed many, many years ago. I mean, 40-some years ago, that I would stand behind this pulpit. And we've been trying the past 40 years, but it don't get no easier. I know that, but it sure does get more blessed. That I understand. The Lord has been good to me. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We'll read a couple of verses. We've read them for several weeks now. We're going to go back and preach in chapter 19 and chapter 12. We'll just let you know that. And just very simple this morning. I want you to search your heart, search your mind. And my biggest concern is that you know Jesus Christ, that you know Him, that you have eternal life this morning, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. Your sins are forgiven. Brother Larry prayed it in Sunday school this morning that if you don't know Him in pardon and forgiveness of sins, that you know Him today before you leave. Now, you being a church member does not concern me. If you're a church member, wonderful. I'm glad. If you've been baptized 50 times, wonderful. I'm glad you at least took a bath that many times. All right. That don't interest me. What interests me, have you been born again? Amen. Have you been saved? Do you know that you're saved this morning? Do you know that? Has it changed your life? Do you remember when the change came? Do you remember when you passed from death into life? Do you know that happened? Do you know that? Do you know Jesus? Now, you'll forget me. If you don't know me, you probably said, there's a lot of people don't even know my name. They just know me as preacher. A lot of people in town don't have a clue. They say, well, there's a preacher. Now, what? See, because that's not important. But you'll never meet Jesus if you'll forget Jesus. You'll never be introduced to Him and Him change your life that you'll wonder, now, what was His name? Huh? Even the blind man that he gives sight to said, I don't know nothing about him. Now, I know his name Jesus, and I know I once was blind, now I see. But you'll not forget meeting him. That's for sure. And I want to make sure you know him this morning. Think about that. John chapter 20, let's look at verse 30 and 31. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Now why? Why are they written? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. See, that's what it's all about this morning, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Pray with me. Father, I come just now knowing my faults, my failures. I understand that, Lord. It's such just mercy that I can stand here this morning. I'm glad you didn't come with justice. I'm glad you give me mercy and grace. Now, Lord, I need it even just now. Lord, cleanse me. Help me to preach the way you want me to. Lord, I pray just now that thy word will speak to our heart and will lodge there to bring forth fruit as you want it to be, as you want to bring it. It's going to be pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray this morning that you might touch me fresh with thy power. I cannot do it. I must have you this morning. I'm going to thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I ask, and amen. We come today with a message of decision. That's the message this morning. It's going to be one of decision. And Jesus Christ came for a reason. We just read to you the reason why even this book is written. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, he only come for one reason. Everybody understand, he only come for one reason. He didn't come for 50 reasons. He come for one reason. And that is that you might be saved. That's why he came. That was the purpose. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 simply says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. Now, he done miracles. He done so many things that the scripture says here that it can't even be written in a book. It'll tell you in another passage there in John that the world could not even contain the books if it was all written down. He done so much. But the reason he came, that he might seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. And that means he come for you. He come for me, he come for you, to seek you out and to save your soul. Now, if that's the reason he come, it must be pretty important. It must be pretty important for God, the Creator God, the God of this universe, the great God of this world, of all the universe, of all the stars and planets and Milky Ways and constellations and everything that there is, for the great God to put on a robe of flesh and to come to seek and to save you that you might have eternal life. To me, that says that somebody here must be important. You're important to the Lord this morning. The Bible says he's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. The Bible says that he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. And he's not willing that anybody perish. He's not slack in any way because he wants you to be saved. Now, you say, well, you tell us that all the time. That's right. And people still keep getting saved.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep telling it. And I'm going to keep telling it till I see it in you. How about that? I'm going to keep telling you how to be saved until it gets on the outside.
Amen.
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being honest. When it gets on the outside, maybe I can change the message. Because right now it's hid in some. And we're going to keep preaching that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You'll say, well, you're judging. Yeah, I am. Now, I reckon that'd be just about the easy way to say it. You don't show it, so I'm going to tell you. Huh? That's simple enough. You know why? Because the greatest reason that anybody can say anything is that you might be saved this morning.
Right.
That's God called me to preach. He didn't call me, now I'm a pastor, but he called me to preach the gospel. All right? Jesus said in his first sermon, repent and believe the gospel. Well, if God is going to preach that, then I'm going to preach that. I'm an under-shepherd. I'm going to preach it. Everybody understand? Now, you say, well, we're getting it. Well, I'm just wanting you to understand. I don't get tired of the gospel. Huh? See, eventually it's going to excite you. Eventually it's going to get down to where you live. And when you get a handle on it, that God come to save you and save you and forgive you of all your sin and give you eternal life, then you're not going to be able to sit still. You may not holler and hoop and wave your arms, but you're going to sit there like you're on one of them vibrating chairs. It's just going to wear you plumb out because you know you're safe plumb through. And I'm afraid that some ain't safe plumb through. I'm afraid some are saved in their mind. I'm afraid some are saved in what they, because they're a certain family and they know certain people. But you need to know that you're saved because you've been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. That's what you need to know. Now, when I think about the message of decision, and it's very clear, and it's for men, women, boys, and girls. Now, we got some boys and girls upstairs, and we got some downstairs, but it's for the men and women. It's for the old and the young. For the old and the young. Brother Rick was telling me he talked to a gentleman this week about his soul, and he's about Rick's age, maybe a little older, so he's not old, but he's not young, so he's up in his 70s, and when Rick talked to him, he said, well, if I go to church, he'll be there. And Rick talked to him about his soul. He said, well, if I go to church, it'll be there. And Rick said, I ain't talking to you about church. I'm talking to you about your soul. Well, when I go to church, Rick said, I'm not talking to you about church.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you about your soul. He said, you make me nervous. Why would it make you nervous? Why would I make you nervous? Why would I intimidate you this morning with the gospel? Huh? When somebody preaches the gospel to me, yes. I done it. Yes. I received Christ. Yes. I go back to March to May the 27th, 1973. I go back there. Huh? I go back to that little boy lost and undone. Can I just give you a testimony? I was lost and undone without God and His Son. And the Savior reached down for me. When He reached out His hand for me, oh, hear me this morning. I know that He come in my life, and I want you to know it. If you don't know it, you can know it today. When we think about the message today, and the reason would be that people might know the Son of God, that you might know Christ, the Son of God, and have life. I'm going to preach to you just real quick this morning on choosing Jesus. On choosing Jesus this morning. Now, I want you to listen to me. It's not choosing religion. See, I'm afraid that somebody may be listening this morning on live stream, or maybe you this morning, or somebody that will listen later on today on the website. And I'm afraid that people are confusing Jesus with religion. I'm afraid that they think that it's just a belief. I told you a while back, I'll remind you, maybe you wouldn't hear to hear it, about the preacher that had an opportunity to go to a hospital. They called and wanted to know if he would come and speak at one of the meetings of this huge hospital, and said, we would really like you to present the gospel. And the preacher said, of course, I'll be there. He presented the gospel, and there was doctors and nurses there. And one of the younger doctor, he was a foreigner, and he raised his hand and said, I would like to know more about this Jesus. And the preacher gladly took him into another room, and after an hour or so of going through scriptures and talking with him, he said, yes, that's what I want. That's exactly what I want. I understand everything you've told me. That's exactly what I want. I want to be saved. And the preacher was just ecstatic. He said, "That's wonderful." And he said, in fact, I want to kneel down here beside my chair and be saved. And the preacher said, "Great." And that doctor got down on his knees and asked God to, you know, went through exactly what I said, "God save me." And he stood and said, "Wonderful. Now I have two gods."
Right.
He was a Muslim. And he added Jesus on. And all he was just religious.
That's right.
And I'm afraid there's many that add Jesus on, like I've told you many times, like fries with a burger at Wendy's. You add him on.
Yeah. Come on
now. And it's religion to you. I'm not offering you religion this morning. I'm not asking you to choose religion this morning. I'm asking you to choose Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to choose church. I am glad that you come to Mountain State Church this morning. I am glad that you have walked in the doors of the Mountain State Baptist Church. I wish the whole county would come. But I'm not asking you to choose church. I'm not asking you to choose church. Church is good. Church is good. I don't know about y'all. I don't dread coming to church. I get up early anyway, but I get up earlier on Sunday.
Amen.
And I'm excited about church. I'm ready for church. I'm showered and ready before 6 o'clock to come to the house of God on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to come. I've never forgot my Bible.
There you go.
Do you know I've never forgot my Bible because I was excited about coming to church.
Yeah.
Never left my Bible at the house.
Come on,
huh? Never have. I mean, in all these 40-some years, 50 years, I've never forgot my Bible coming to church.
Amen. Amen.
You know that? Never did. Never did. Even as a kid, I carried my Bible to church. Amen, preacher. Y'all take your Bible to church.
Amen.
Y'all take your Bible to Bible study because you're going to study the Bible. I'll take your Bible to Bible camp because you're going to be studying the Bible. I'll take your Bible to the preaching church to make sure the preacher preaches right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. I'm not asking you to choose church, though. You could have went to church down the road, up on the hill, across town, down the road, up the road. That's all well and fine. If all you have is a church, well, that ain't bad, but you'll burn in hell if all you got is a church.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to choose church.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to choose Jesus.
Yeah.
Think about that. I'm not asking you to choose anything but Jesus Christ. Turn over in chapter 19 and we'll show you why. This is a reason that we ought to choose. This is the reason. John chapter 19, I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here. Now I want you to understand that the account is not the story of Jesus dying on the cross. But it's the account of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. It is a historical account. It's a biblical truth, but it's a historical account that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified outside the city gates of Jerusalem. And that the one in charge, the ruler, put on the cross that he was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That is a historical fact.
Yes.
That happened.
Yes.
That happened. And I'm going to read to you why it happened and what happened about this very thing. See, Jesus of Nazareth is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's God in the flesh.
Yes.
That Jesus is God. You need to understand that Jesus is God.
Yes.
He said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and my Father are one."
Yes.
Huh? He is God. That God put on a robe of flesh and come down, born in a manger in Bethlehem. We celebrate that at Christmas. He didn't come and learn to be a Savior, but it says that there is born unto you this day a Savior, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. He come as a Savior. That's why He come. He come to save you this morning. He come to save me. That's why He come. And now we have the account. Things is going to end up for far as his earthly life and his earthly ministry. He come to be, as John the Baptist saw him, they're coming to the river. As John the Baptist is baptizing and Jesus comes out, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that come by to see me." No, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's why he come. To take away your sin this morning. Your filth, your lies, your adulteries and idolatries and your drunkenness and your dopeness, your gambling and your thievery and your murders and all the deceit and all the things in your life. He come to take it away.
Amen.
Think about that. Man, you don't get no better than that. Huh? He come not to just rub it out. He come to throw it away. Huh? He blotted it out, yeah. And he carried it, nailed it to his cross, took it away. That's what the Bible said. We still okay? But I want you to know now we come to the cross of Calvary. We come and we have him being presented among people. And when he's presented to the people, there's always choices. They come and they chose him out of the bunch that was in Gethsemane. You think about this here, Jesus and the disciples are in Gethsemane. He went there to pray. Him and the disciples went there to pray. Here come the soldiers and they're looking for one. Looking for Jesus. And they said, "Which one is he? Which one is he?" Judas, they already figured Judas was going to have to go kiss him or give him a sign. He went and he said, "I'll take care of that." He said, "The one I kiss, that'll be the one." He went and kissed Jesus and they chose Jesus then. They took him in there to the judgment hall, and as they took him into the judgment hall, they didn't have nothing to charge him with because he was God and he was perfect. And hear me, he didn't choose, listen, don't say this, he didn't choose to live a sinless life. He was God, he couldn't sin. And he lived a sinless life because he was God. He didn't choose that, he was God. He didn't choose to be God, he was God. Don't take nothing from him this morning. And he lived perfect because he was God. And things changed because he was God. And he touched people because he was God. And he healed people because he was God. And he made blind eyes see because he was God. And he made cripples walk because he was God. And he raised the dead because he was God. He didn't become God. He was God. And my God died for me. The Creator died for the creation. Hallelujah for the magnificent God who condescended down to become sin that I might have eternal life this morning and beyond my comprehension. Huh? So we find him coming into the judgment hall. And people choosing again between him and Barabbas. And wanting a murderer instead of Jesus. See, people are always making choices. I want you to choose Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to choose Jesus. They didn't choose Jesus when it came to him and Barabbas. They chose Barabbas. Now, let me tell you why we ought to choose him. Can we pick up? Oh, let's pick up here about, it's so hard to start. Let's pick up about 13. John chapter 19. Is everybody okay with me this morning? Are you hearing me? Are you understanding me this morning? John chapter 19, verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. At about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him. Crucify him." Can you imagine? Can you imagine saying that? They didn't choose Jesus. They still want him their way. See, a lot of times we don't choose Jesus because we want our way. A lot of times we want us, we don't want him. A lot of times we want others, but we don't want him. And it says, but they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Huh? Here's a wicked man. asking the religious crowd, "Shall I crucify your king?"
Yeah.
And they said, "We don't have no king." Rightfully so. They didn't have nobody because they were just religious.
Uh-huh.
See, if you're just religious, you don't have nobody neither. You don't have nobody but the world. And that's all they got this morning.
Uh-huh.
Are you listening to me this morning? Let's look on. But they cried out, verse 15, but they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus, led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, when they had crucified him, well, what did they do? Well, they took God,
yeah,
who had put on flesh and come as his son, and laid him on a cross. Already had beaten him and scourged him and beat the hide and the meat off his back and neck and ribs and shoulders. They took him there and laid him on a cross. And willingly he laid his hand down and let him drive nails in his hands and nails in his feet as he put his feet together. Hung him on a cross. Set the cross in a hole and lifted it up there between the heavens and the earth, having a little kind of a seat to catch his bottom on just a little bit and swoop down to where he would have to do this to try to breathe and work his feet and work his arms and constantly doing this, trying to breathe, if you can picture that in your mind, and the weight on his feet, and then the weight on his feet would be too much, and he'd give down, and the weight on his hands would be too much, and trying to breathe, and trying to do, and for hour after hour after hour, after thinking that's what he done, it wasn't a 5-minute ordeal, but it was God coming down to die for your sins this morning. It was the crucifixion of God, the Savior. Oh, it was a love like no love's ever been shown. It was mercy like no mercy's ever been shown. Oh, but it was grace like no grace has ever been shown, as Christ died for our sins there on the cross of Calvary. When it says they crucified him, as the blood run down, as the nails pulled the flesh, as the blood run down his back, as the thorns had blood on his face, and no doubt he sweated, and no doubt the horror to look upon him as he stood there or hung there naked, but for all those to see, in front of his mother, in front of all the women, in front of the men, in front of the young people, in shame, in agony, because we're filthy, wretched souls. But God, in his mercy, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah this morning.
Amen.
That's the crucifixion of Christ. Oh, don't just read the words and he crucified him all. Get it in your mind what he done. Get in your mind what he done. It says here, verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, here he is hanging there. They took his garments, divided them up, or made four parts, to every soldier apart, then took his coat and said, also his coat. Now the coat was without stain woven top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. I was going to tell you that's why I'm again gambling.
Yeah, there you go.
Not only is it not a faith, but I just don't want to be situated or counted in the same bunch as that bunch that gambles for Jesus Christ. You gamble if you want to. I ain't going to do it.
Amen.
Huh? Everybody all right? Let me just say that again. You're going to gamble if you want to. This preacher ain't going to do it. In no way. In no way. In no way. Huh? Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin anyway. But I don't want to be in this bunch. Let us not render, but let's cast lots for. Throwing dice, huh? Throwing dice for the code of God. I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whose it shall be. But the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things are for the soldiers. Then now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. That's John, who's writing this. That's who that disciple is. Verse 28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. I thirst. And look how hard and cruel the people are. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Can I tell you, if I'm thirsty, I don't want vinegar. Oh, if I could just have a little drip of water. If I could have just a little touch of water. Are you listening to me? See, there was one that was died and lift up his eyes in hell. It said, could you see in Lazarus he might dip his finger in water and cool my parched tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame? That's what Luke 16 said. I wonder if Jesus wasn't just a little bit of water. Because he who knew no sin became sin for me. That I might be made the righteous of God in him. Are you listening to me? But how cruel. Next time you're out weed eating and hot and it's 90 degrees and you're ready, go get you some apple cider vinegar and drink. See how that helps you. See if that cools your tongue. See if it'll take your breath as well as this. Are you listening to me? Cruel. Cruel is what it is. Can I tell you that we're cruel? We're cruel as sinners. We're cruel to people. We're cruel one to another. We're cruel to the body. We have it in us to be so despicable and so dirty and wretched. People say, I can't believe anybody would do that. Can I tell you, it's hard telling what we would do.
That's the truth.
We're capable of doing anything and everything.
Yes.
We still all right? Verse 29, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar, put it upon his and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, it's finished.
Yeah.
It is finished. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
It is finished. Yeah. What's finished, preacher? The contract between God and Jesus for my salvation was finished. Between the Father and the Son, it was finished. My salvation ain't between me and the Son. The salvation that was provided was between the Father and the Son. And the Father says there in Isaiah chapter 53 that he was satisfied with what the Son done. And now when God saves a sinner, he saves a sinner for Christ's sake.
Amen. That's right.
Because it was between the Father And are you hearing me this morning? Don't ever think that you're so good that God just saved you because you deserve to be saved. God saved you because He died for you and it satisfied Him, and God saved you for Christ's sake. That's what the Bible says. For it says that we are to forgive one another even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Because we don't deserve anything this morning. Huh? But when I choose the Son, when I choose the Son, God says, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We all right with that this morning? That's what the Bible says. Huh? And it says, it is finished. Now, you can't pay for your sin this morning. You can't work. You're trying to work. Let me tell you something. You're going to work yourself for death and go to hell. You can't work to go. You can't work to get it. You can't work to keep it. You can't work to endure it. You're going to have to choose Jesus. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was on the high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And out and forth, it says, and pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and this record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Should not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they look on him whom they pierce. Now, when I read that, I see why I ought to choose Jesus. That a man died for me. Now listen, there have been many people that's befriended me. I've told you probably this before. Years ago, my daddy was working in the coal mines and he had a massive heart attack and he was unable to work then. I was a freshman in high school and there was no income. All right? We built a new house. Daddy had bought a car. He was, I think maybe at that time, either mine foreman, assistant mine foreman, to Med River Mines. And got out of work. He couldn't pass the physical. They wouldn't let him go back to work. He'd had a massive heart attack. So we didn't know how we was going to make it. Now listen to me, man. There was a man that had a grocery store where we dealt with over at Edmond. Name was J.W. Hatcher. And Woody Hatcher had the grocery store. That's where we always got groceries. And we got groceries like everybody else. We'd get in every half if the bill was paid. You'd charge your groceries, get every half. Y'all know what I mean? Every 2 weeks payday. Then pay the bill. Well, we'd get a little groceries on the side. Well, it got to the point the bill was too much. No money to pay it. So Woody was a lost man. And he would bring boxes of groceries to our house. Charles Blair run the Exxon at Lookout, Paradise Inn. His brother Sam owned it, and he run it for his brother Sam. And we charged our gas all our life. You go up and get gas, you put on the bill, every half you paid the bill. Well, got where there wasn't no money, Charles let Daddy charge the gas. Bob Wells of Anston Motors is where the car was financed. And Daddy said, I brought the car down and said, hey, Bob, sell this car. Can't pay for it. He said, no, boy. He said, we'll work something out. Bob Wells started paying the car payment from my daddy. We didn't have no money.
Amen.
So Daddy got his disability, and I was with him when he went and settled up all these. And these lost men, Bob Wells was only Christian. The other two men was lost. And their tears run down their faces. You don't have to pay this. Now, I was so impressed that they loved my daddy that much.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'm telling you this, listen to me. That when I got old enough to drive, I never bought a gallon of gas nowhere but from Charles Laird at Paradise Inn.
Right. Right.
Not one gallon did I buy any other place than from Charles Laird. And when I went to work, I bought my gas there and I charged it and I paid it. I got paid every week, so I paid him every Friday. Me and Cheryl got married. That's where I got my gas to. Went out of business. That's where I got my gas. You know where I got my groceries? I got my groceries at Willie Hatcher's. It didn't matter if it was a little more. It didn't matter about that. But I never bought a loaf of bread at Foodland or Kroger's. I bought everything I had at Woody Hatcher's store. You know, Cheryl, and we bought a grocery store. You know why? Because of how he befriended me. I felt like I owed that. I drove Dodges for years. I was a Chevrolet man myself, but I drove Dodges because Bob Wells sold Dodges. And I never bought a vehicle from nobody till Bob Wells went out of business at Anstead Motors. It didn't matter if I got a good deal or not, because I was indebted to the ones that took my family. But let me tell you, all that's wonderful and great, and you don't even hear of it. But they was one I'm indebted to far greater than that, who left all the splendor of heaven and come down and died in my place and took my sins away. And I choose Jesus this morning because I'm indebted to one that paid far more for me than any other man. And I give him my life, and I give him my voice, and I give him my strength, and I give him my time, and I give him my money, because a man called Jesus died in my place this morning. And I'm telling you that you need to choose Jesus this morning, because there ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody will do for you what Jesus will do for you. Ain't nobody can save you but him. Ain't nobody can take your sins but him. Nobody can give you eternal life but him. Choose Jesus this morning. Choose Jesus. Huh? Choose Jesus. That's the first point. Huh? Now, can I give you another verse? Let's go to chapter 12. Hang with me now. I told you why you ought to choose him. John chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I give you the cross, now I give you the chance. Because everybody gets a chance. Everybody, you know how I know? "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." The cross, because of the cross, he gives you a chance. Huh? That he comes to you and asks you and draws you and offers you eternal life that you might then choose this morning.
Yes.
You understand that? And then I drop down to verse 35. And we'll see in chapter 12 is where we're at. And we'll see not only the chance, how about the choice? "Then Jesus said unto them, in a little while is the light with you." Now he's giving them, he's telling them something. Listen to this. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness don't know whither he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus. These things, Jesus is telling you, listen, I'm offering you a choice here. I'm giving you a chance. I show you the cross. I'm giving you a chance. Now, I'm showing you the choice. It's light. It's not dark. Are you following me this morning? In him, the Bible says, in him there's no darkness at all. The Bible tells me that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But he's the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness. Are you listening? There ain't no darkness in him. It's only light. And he says, believe the light. Huh? Believe the light. But then, it goes on down. And he shows about... Oh, let's see if we can find it here. Verse 37. "Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." don't you look at me this morning? You got jobs, you got money in the bank? Huh? You got a family? You got kids and grandkids? You got parents? God has showed you bountifully mercy after mercy after mercy. He's given you everything you got. He's turned, some of y'all, look at me this morning, He's turned liquor into power bill money. Huh? He's turned beer into bread for your family. Huh? Has He not? What is that? Ain't that a miracle? Huh? They thought it was a miracle turning water to wine. I've seen Him in homes where He turned wine into house payments and car payments and college educations for kids where there was nothing but drunkards to get saved and their family then flourished like nobody's business. Huh? Miracle after miracle, yet people won't believe on Him. He's been good to you. He's given you everything you've got. The clothes you got on your back, the socks you have inside your shoes this morning, He's give you. He give you the gas in your car to get here. He'd give you everything you got. And yet people won't believe Him. Yet people won't believe Him. Miracles. Miracles. Oh, I'm not even going to go into that. I could be here for hours this morning. You know the miracles He's done in my life. You know what He's done for me. Huh? That's why I'm not going to complain. When you ask me how you doing, and I say no complaint, I'm not going to complain. I shouldn't even be alive. I shouldn't, if I am alive, I shouldn't be able to walk. I shouldn't be able to use my arms. I'm not going to complain. If I lose everything I've got more than I deserve. Huh? So why wouldn't I serve Him? Why wouldn't I believe on Him? Huh? So I give you the cross, I give you the chance, I give you the choice, but I can't leave you without giving you a consequence. Let's drop down. Verse 46. I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So there's your choice again in verse 46. Now look at verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not. Now look at this. I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Ain't that wonderful? And you say, see, he just, everybody's going to be okay. No. That ain't what he says. He said, I come to be your Savior.
Right. That's right.
Now, the Father has got the last say.
That's right.
Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, I believe, it'll say that God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, the Father's going to say, what'd you do with the Son? I'm asking you to choose Jesus this morning. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the Scripture saith that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, or whoever shall believe, shall have eternal life. Huh? These things that are written, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you have believed on the name of the Son of God. We okay?
Yeah.
It says in John, it says, and he that believeth have everlasting life. Romans chapter 10, so whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Huh? I'm going to ask you this morning, what's your choice? What's your choice? See, to me, on this side, it's a no-brainer. To me, on this side of the cross, as being a saved man today, then I think it's so foolish that you don't choose Jesus. But I got to remember what it was like to be lost. See, you this morning is lost. See, you think you have plenty of time. To you that are lost this morning, you think you're not too bad a guy, not too bad a lady. To you this morning, you think, well, I'm going to have to study on this to see if all this is true. To you this morning that is unsaved, there's many things going through your mind, and I got to remember what it's like to be lost. See, for me on this side, it's a no-brainer. Choose Jesus. But there's many of you, I always look, you know, I think of Brother Rick Childers, raised in a Christian home. Roscoe and Marie, they ain't no finer people than Roscoe and Marie Childers. They seen that he went to church as a kid. They lived example for him. They told him about Jesus. He's listened to Roscoe and Marie tell others about Jesus. But Rick had to choose himself. So why would he wait till he's in his 20s to do that? Because he's just like you. And he thought there was plenty of time, and they thought there was this and that. It wasn't that he was against God. It wasn't that he was against church. It just didn't fit in his schedule. I look back here at John Johnson, and John Johnson was aggravated every week by L.T. Jordan for months and months and months. John, you need the Lord. 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 To where John didn't even want to see L.T. coming. Didn't even want to see him coming. Till that Easter Sunday in 1976, when he decided, I'll go, had decided, okay, I'll get shut of all this. But until then, well, I'm not too bad a guy. I don't do what everybody else is doing the same thing. In fact, I'm doing it with church people. He would drink and gamble and do all these things. He was doing it with people who went to church. Huh? It wasn't no big deal. I'm just as good as... See, that's what you say, that you're just as good as everybody else. And can I tell you, you probably are. In fact, they might even wage you or better. There's some things that some lost people won't do. You know, some are so moral that they won't break their word, that they wouldn't think about being unfaithful. You know, they wouldn't think about missing a day's work for just to be do-less. But they don't think they need Jesus. I'm telling you this morning that if you don't have Jesus, you need Jesus. Huh? I'm telling you this morning that you need to choose Jesus. He's not going to make you choose. He's not going to get you by the nap of the neck and say, choose me. No, he said, I'll draw you, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. And he woos you and calls you and says, come. And he shows you what he did, and he shows you who he is. He shows you that he's God in the flesh, and he shows you how powerful and loving and caring, that even on a cross, he looks to one of the thieves. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Always mercy, always mercy, always love. And he offers that to you today.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this morning, will you choose Jesus? I don't know how to make it any plainer. All these weeks I've been preaching simple salvation. Can't make it no simple, boy. But you know what? I heard this all my life. I heard it growing up. But I still remember sitting on the front bench and my daddy preaching just like this. Oh, and Grandma preaching, and my Papa preaching, and Wilmer Truman preaching, and Harmon Davis preaching, and all them L.A. Garden preaching, all them Grape Chick Card preaching, all that. And I've sat in church and never moved. Then God would convict me and woo me and draw me. And I said, no, no, no. But all that night so long ago, May the 27th, 1973, when I slipped off that front bench, knelt down,
Will you save me? I believe Daddy stood by the pulpit and said, Mark, what happened? I said, Daddy, I got saved. I can remember that. I can remember kneeling down. I remember calling on him. I remember the change in my heart. I remember standing and telling him I got saved. Oh, I know, and I experience it every day, the joy that's in my heart because I'm saved this morning and I've chosen Jesus. You know Jesus. You know him. Let's stand together, would you? And I'm going to ask you to come. Dennis is over here, and Brother Rick, and Becky's over here. If you want to come, you want to talk, and they'll help you. I'll show you the Bible. What I'm asking you is come and choose Jesus this morning. You come, we're going to sing right now. You come right now. Come on.
Just
choose Jesus this morning. Choose Jesus this morning. You need him in your heart. You need him in your life. You need Christ.
I've been given choices, and I've chosen. I was happy. Sometimes I neglected to choose, and I go back to choose, and it wasn't there no more.
Yeah.
You ever do that? Mm-hmm. You ever choose, have the opportunity to choose, and you say, well, maybe, and you went back and said, I'm going to go get it, and it ain't there.
Right. Yep.
See, someday it'll happen. And you allow maybe I ought to go choose, and it ain't there no more.
That's true.
Choosing Jesus. Maybe you'll think about that today. All right? Glad you're here. Come back tonight.